Thank you, ladies. Well, tonight we're going to have our third session on the Bible and clothing. Sorry, I don't have an overhead for you tonight. But we want to really put a lot of things together as we think of this particular subject. We talked about in the Bible, we talked about that clothing in the Bible was chosen by God as a symbol of salvation, a symbol of the covering of our sin, as well as an outward sense of man standing before a holy God. And we recognize that that covering that God made of man was a full covering. As the high priest in the Old Testament who represented our Savior, but also who represented man to God and what it means to come into the presence of a holy God, he was clothed fully from neck, way past the knees almost to the ankle. You know what? God chose that, not me. And we find that in our high priest, the Lord Jesus, Revelation chapter 1. He was clothed with a garment down to the foot. Secondly, we looked last week of the principle of modesty in clothing. And that principle is a very important principle. That modesty represents a woman who is living for God and is a obvious picture of their desire to be godly. And we looked at those verses, and they're very important. Today, we'd like to look at third distinction of proper clothing and for the people of God, and that is that clothing ought to be gender distinctive. Clothing ought to be gender distinctive. And tonight, I'd like to look at this subject kind of from a broader spectrum. I'd like us to kind of look at this subject from how do we get where we're at? How do we get where we are at today in Western civilization? It is just amazing the cultural and the moral slide that has taken place in the last just few years. And if you keep up with any news, you have a sense of the spirit in our world today. You have a sense of where people are thinking, what people are thinking today. And it's very, very scary. I mean, it was just this week that the headlines were twofold. That North Carolina is a hate country, because they passed an amendment, a law, that protected Christians from being sued to death in their business if they would have to violate their conscience concerning gay marriage. And many people have already lost their businesses if they failed to bake a cake that celebrates gay marriage. And they've lost everything they've had or been tried to put out of business, and just because they're trying to uphold their biblical beliefs. I've said this before. You have to understand that that the thing that makes America different from all the nations of the world is that America is the first country ever in the history of the world to have religious liberty. And that is the very thing that's under attack today. It's under the attack of the very core of America today. And we don't have time to talk about that, how that all came to be. But it is because, in its fundamental issues of the Bill of Rights, they're because of the Baptists' influence on America. And the Bill of Rights would make America a Baptist nation, but you aren't going to read that in any textbooks, I'm afraid. But that's under attack. Now, the governor of Georgia has the same type of law, and he vetoes it because the great NFL threatens that they can't have the Super Bowl if they have a religious liberty law in the state of Georgia. And they don't call it a religious liberty, they call it a hate law. They call it a discrimination law. And same thing, I don't know what the governor of Virginia did. He's under the same pressure, and companies like Disney and all these big companies that are anti-Christian, they're putting the pressure on. But that's nothing. In North Carolina, they passed a law to overturn the law in Charlotte about transgender bathrooms. And Charlotte passed a law that said someone who decides whoever they are, other than what they are by chromosomes, male or female, they can go in whatever bathroom they want. And to overrule that is called now a hate crime by the left. It's not only an attack on religious liberty, it's an attack on the very moral fiber of our nation. The Supreme Court ruling, unbelievable where we're at. Now, all that ties in with where we are at when we start talking about gender distinction in clothing. It all ties together. And I'm going to try to tie it together. May we be reminded of something. A couple things. Let's be reminded of the infinite wisdom of Almighty God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. Five and six. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all these things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now notice it says, the law, the statutes, the judgments that God had given his people. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from my law till all be fulfilled. The word of God is pure. And here we tell us that the word of God is full of the very wisdom of God. Now, can we put a simple statement here? The Word of God reveals the truth of the success of civilization. And to violate these laws is to ruin a nation, is to ruin civilization, the very order that mankind needs to follow, rather than to self-destruct, but in other words, to be blessed. And, you know, and we may be able to mention this, but here's the problem. Is that we're smarter than God. We're smarter than God. And the average Christian has the attitude, well, I have my own opinion. I don't really care what the Bible says. I have my own opinion. That's one of the problems. The other problem is the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God has the perfect truth. It's the perfect truth. And if we don't know what the Bible says, guess who we're going to be influenced by? The world. We're going to think like the world. We're going to accept what the world does. And then the third principle is we are to be salt and light in a dark world. We should not be a part of the problem. We should be a part of the solution. Amen? We shouldn't be going down. We should be going against the tide. But actually, I really believe that one of the real problems is that Christianity as a whole has gone down with the tide rather than standing against it. And we could just give all sorts of reasons why that is, why that takes place. But you can just answer that yourself. But let's talk about where we're at today. Homosexual agenda, transgender agenda, all of these moral perversions. And the relationship between these things and clothing. Okay? So, the first principle that's involved here is the principle of the fact that clothing represents submission to God's role for men and women. Clothing represents submission to God's role for the distinction of men and women. Now, let's see a few things in the scriptures about this. And we're going to be referring to these verses. So as we read them, we're not going to necessarily spend a lot of time on them at this point, because we're going to put them together. So here's a few verses. First of all, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Now this chapter is about the importance of the distinctions of the role of men and women as God has ordained. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. The head of the man is Christ. That's a role. That a man is to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's a role that God has given man. Many men are like Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And his birthright was the duty to be the spiritual leader of his family. And I'm not talking about, you know, rah, rah, rah. I'm talking about living the life. It says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, in that whole context, the whole chapter is about that, the first half of it. Then we get up to verse 13. Judge in yourselves. It is as comely, proper, fitting that a woman pray unto God uncovered. Now, this is outward. This is outward. This is something that's outward. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, first of all, let's take the prideful response to this passage of Scripture. What does hair have to do with anything? I want short hair, it's fine. I want long hair, it's fine. Don't tell me how to wear my hair. That's pride. That's rebellion.
That's right.
Now, it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. I'm sorry, but this is what God said on the outside. Because what's on the outside is controlled by what's on the inside. That's what it's saying. Now, if you look at that verse closely, I want you to look at a circle of word in verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Circle the word shame. And put next to that Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Circle the word vile. The word vile is the same Greek word in 1 Corinthians 11 that says long hair on a man is a shame. And in Romans 1:26, it parallels that with what? Vile affections. What are vile affections? It tells us what those vile affections are. For women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men. This is talking about homosexuality. What is it saying? A rebellion against the role distinctions of men and women is related to what? Homosexuality. Do we have this problem that just come out of the sky? Now, I realize I'm a little older than you. Than most of you. Not all of you. But you know, the hippies, they brought in long hair. And it was revolutionary. It was shocking. And their message was sexual revolution. And that's exactly what they meant. A rejection, a rebellion against all Christian values. Long hair. Now, in the context of the early 50s, in the early 60s, It was revolutionary. And if you ever look at the pictures, later on they became, I mean, really shags, you know. But at first, just 1 inch over the ear. You know, you only do things slowly, otherwise you'll be known as who you really are. But that was revolutionary. And the Bible's saying that rebellion against God, that rebellion against God, to reject the nature taught issue that men and women are different, and they ought to be different on the outside because they are different, and God made them that way. And he said, the difference is shown, one of them, length of hair. Length of hair. Now, you know, I realize that in a lot of people's Bible, this has been thrown out, because a lot of it's okay. It's not okay for a lady to have short hair. Now, if you can't have long hair, well, that's not rebellion. You know, maybe need some, you know, some milk or something from the farm, make it grow, I don't know. But whatever. What does it say? You know what? It's what God said. Why can't we accept what God says and submit to it? Why do we have to have a better idea? And so, clothing and things like that represent a submission or a rebellion against God's rule for men and women. Now turn to Deuteronomy 22:5. You know, these things take so long to come to pass that everything comes together that people don't see it. You understand what I'm saying? It takes years for this to come together and produce what America is today. It didn't happen overnight. And finally we got it. Finally we're there. We're at the place that people reject homosexuality. They are haters. They are the lowest on the earth, according to powers that be. So, what does it say, Deuteronomy 22:5? It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. See the role distinction? A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, you know, the second half of the verse is really pretty clear. A man shall not put on a woman's garment. You know, this is a public forum. I really can't be too blunt here. Whew. That's where we're at. Men. Oh, I can't even say it. The first half makes it clear because it's a parallel. A man shouldn't wear that which pertains to a woman, speaking to women's clothing. But it really tells us it's much broader than that. It's telling you not only clothing, but there needs to be a genuine role separation. And you know, everything in our society is about breaking down that role distinction. that which pertaineth to a woman, that which pertaineth to a man. You know, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says in 1 Timothy that a man that doesn't care take care of his own is worse than an infidel. Boy, now all of a sudden we got the plan in the Bible. Oh, the man, he's supposed to be the breadwinner. He is responsible for the family. That's part of his role. Okay? Let's talk about that for a minute. And think about this. We talked about roles of men and women. And 1 Timothy 2 is all about that. But look at 1 Timothy 2. And it says in verse 9, the role of the woman in the church, in like manner also that the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, with broided hair, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which is becoming of women, professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not to a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Of course, this refers to that the Lord Jesus would be born of a woman. But it also emphasizes that the greatest thing that ever could be for a woman, if the Lord permits it, is to raise godly children. Now, the world has made that a menial physical task. But let me tell you what. It's far, far, far more than a menial physical task. And those who think of it as a mere physical task have no clue about God's plan for the human race. Mothers have this very unique, irreplaceable role in civilization to nurture the souls of their children. And the flood of Noah had to do with a failure of mothers raising the godly seed. And the godly seed had gone down to one family. Wonder, have we gotten back there? Well, there's something more important than the greatest thing that ever could be done by a lady, if God permits, raising godly children that will change the world. So the first issue here is that distinctive in clothing is very important because it represents a submission to God's plan of God's differing, distinctive role for men and women. Hopefully we'll get some more truths about that. 1 Peter 3 really applies to there. It said the woman, spirit of a woman is to be a meek and quiet spirit. Did you notice, or did you not know? This is going to be a controversial statement. Did you not know that women's competitive sports teams at the university level are full of lesbians? What I mean by full, I mean lots. Lots. Like on a team of 16, 15, maybe 6, or a team of 12, 6. I heard of another sport, which is a real aggressive sport. Lots. What? Yeah. Because the woman's spirit is not to be allowed and aggressive. Loud and aggressive. And the more aggressive and loud and unfeminine that sport is, if there is such a thing, they're going to find that. You know, these things don't happen by accident, folks. There's rejection of God's plan. And a rejection of God's plan has results, not good ones. Number two, in Romans chapter 1, we find very serious statement about how we got where we're at. Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Okay, let's stop there. What does it mean? Now, of course, this is the context of the result is homosexuality in the society. And it starts with when they knew Him as God, they glorified Him not as God. Let me give you my simplistic definition of that. Who is God? I mean, who's God? I mean, God is who rules in your life. You know what I mean? That's the ruler. You know, to say I believe in God and He's not the ruler, well, that's what kind of belief is that? We talk in America that the God of America is money, dollar bill. That's what rules, right? One of them. They glorified Him not as God. They said, no, I don't want God ruling over my life. I know better. Now, turn with me to a related passage in the Bible. Turn with me to Ezekiel 16. Now, in this verse, we have the revelation from God of the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it gives us some answers. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Pride. What is pride? Pride is that attitude that says, I know better than God. It's that attitude that says, I don't need God's law. I'm smarter than that. My opinion is just as good, if not better, than what the Bible plainly says. And we can identify with that, can't we? I don't really like what the Bible says about clothing. I know better. Truth's not really important. My opinion is more important. That's what I'm going to do. What I think. The Bible says they glorified him not as God. They weren't thankful. They weren't satisfied with God's plan. I don't like God's plan. I mean, isn't that what's going on today? I don't like God's plan. You know, what was the feminist movement all about? The feminist movement was supposedly about, I don't like God's plan. Now, the international bankers, they had their own plan. International bankers said, we want women in the workforce because now we get taxes from two people in the family rather than just one. It's very interesting. On, I think it was even VCY this week, they gave the statistics of how many, what the distinction between how many men go to church and how many women go to church. And women that were at home had a far greater percentage went to church than men. But once women got into the workforce, a much smaller amount of women went to church versus men. But feminism was all about rejection of God's plan. God's plan wasn't better. Man had a better plan. I don't really think feminine has a good plan at all. You know that? I suppose I get in trouble saying this. But you know, do you think this is a good plan? Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Get ready for work. Get to work, maybe there by 7, maybe there by 8, whatever. You work 10 hours, drive an hour. Kids are at the babysitter and wherever. You're exhausted. Exhausted. Now, someone's got to make the meal. Someone's got to clean the house. Someone's got to wash the dishes. Someone has to wash the clothes. Someone has to fold them. Maybe nobody does. I don't know. Most of the check has to go for the new car because, you know, you got to look right. Got to have insurance on that new car. Lots. And you know, you got to have a wardrobe. That's expensive. Can't go to Vincent's for that. You know, then you got this bill and that bill and this bill and that bill. Plus, you're wore out. Plus, you have all the motherly strain of the responsibility for children. And all you get out of life, what do you get? A few bucks. A few bucks. Now, notice what God's plan is. God's plan. He has this plan for the home. God has a plan for gender distinction. That a lady be a lady. That's important. God said so. It's vitally important. You say it's not important. It's important. Oh, we say, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Sodom and Gomorrah, pride. Well, I can just discount what it says. It doesn't really mean that. You know, it doesn't really mean that. It means something else. Well, what does it mean? I mean, it means what it says. Pride. I got a better idea. And eventually it catches up with civilization. That's what's happening. Man's wisdom is catching up with itself. It says that the root of this is pride. I know better than God's word. I know better than God. But God's word is absolute truth without error. Now, if God says distinction, gender distinction is very important, I think it's very important. Now, did you ever notice? Maybe you don't notice this. Did you notice the femininity coming into men's clothing? You notice that? I mean, I can't be too descriptive here. It's shocking. It's shocking. You know, let the girls wear the lace and the frills, okay? You know, I need to say more. You know, it seems like men are dressing like a fashion statement. That bothers me. That's not God's plan for the man. We ought to dress proper, we ought to dress nice. But we better not get into this fashion statement. Feminine fashion statements. Bringing attention to us and our fashions. There are some things I could say that would make it specific, but you probably won't like it. Might offend you. But just notice my socks. I'm not going to say anything more. Number three. Notice what it says about Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Abundance of idleness, fullness of bread. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. I'm just trying to describe the spirit of the day and see and show how it fits in with all this stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice the day in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures. Now, lovers of pleasures. We live in a very materialistic, rich society. And Jesus said, come drink of the water I'll give you and you'll never thirst. But we live in a society that knowing God isn't enough. Knowing God isn't enough. Their life is empty. And the answer is pursuit of pleasure, pursuit of thrills. You know why? God's not enough. That's why entertainment is the number one issue in among Christianity. Because why? God's not enough. I got to be entertained. The Word of God, preaching of the Bible. Remember that in the old days when the number one thing families did was they went and hear preaching. You know that? Oh, such and such is preaching. Let's go hear them. And everybody's excited about hearing good preaching. You know? That was exciting. God was enough. And now, instead of the front rows being packed of young people, slim. God's not enough. That's not the thrill of my soul. But notice the principle. Lovers of pleasure. Fullness of bread. We live in a day in which there is this craving for pleasure. Pleasure. What is homosexuality about? What is the transvestite agenda all about? It's all about inordinate pleasure. Pleasure. That is what our society... And you know what? One thing isn't good enough. Pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure. This is serious. And you see that soft society that comes when you're wealthy. Soft society. All this time. 1 Corinthians 6, this is a verse that we need to look at. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind. We need to stop at that word effeminate. That word effeminate is the word soft. It's rightly translated effeminate. It's instead of a man acting like a man, he's acting like that. And I'm not trying to be whatever, but that's what it says. You know, what's a man? You know, that's God's role. Did you know that? It says in the Bible, act like a man. You know? Grit your teeth. Take it. Do what's right. Forget about how you feel. You obey. You know, it's like the icebreaker. The icebreaker boat crashes through the ice. So all the other rest of the boats can come through. Rough, tough. Not that you're supposed to, that's the main thing, but you know what I'm saying. Lead. Now, I'm going to say something that I think you need to take carefully, but it's important. Men. You are to be the leader. And you're supposed to be the right kind of leader. But if the feminine person becomes a leader and the man becomes passive, you got danger. You got danger. You got danger. I'm just telling you. You got danger. We go back to what? Roles. Taking the role that God has given us serious. Very important. These things don't happen by accident. You know, they're going to say, you know, one of the problems of America is World War II. The women left the home and came into the industry. And, you know, there's a lot of truth there. But the real issue was role reversal. That's the real problem. Role reversal. Who wins? Who wins? It's a good question. Who wins? You want to reverse God's plan, it's going to be problems. It's not good. All these things come together. You know, we think we know better than God. We think we don't have to obey His laws. We think that we can reinterpret it. We think that we can rebel. We have a better idea. We don't. And the pride of America and the pride of the West is coming to haunt them right now. And the West is about to self-destruct. And this is a huge thing. Now let me ask a question. Where's the answer? The answer is in the church, isn't it? The answer is people getting saved. The answer is people submitting to God's plan. It's the answer is Jesus is enough. Amen? Jesus is enough. You know, if Jesus is enough, we don't need this other stuff. It can all be put in the proper perspective. And there's so many issues there, but I see that these are some principles that underlie the problem. It's related to clothing. The clothing brings it out. Now, I'm also a firm believer of the other. Not only does the clothing bring out what's on the inside, but the clothing helps mold the inside. Meek and quiet spirit? Yeah. You know, a dress length can very well tell a meek and quiet spirit. But also, that proper length dress molds the mind. Molds the soul. Why? Because it's God's plan. It works. God's far wiser than we could ever think. And our job is to submit ourselves to God's way. You know, I say this once in a while just to remind us why we do what we do. Little guys are pretty rambunctious. And you know, you got to do some work at keeping them down, right? But you know, there's a lot of reasons that we like our boys to have a suit and tie on. But one is, so they are reminded who's the boss. God. He's big, and he's holy, and I'm under him. And I'm dressing like I'm under him. That's a simple truth. Nonetheless, the whole principle of respect and integrity and all of these things, I think it's important. All you got to do is have a bunch of little boys and have them dress like they're not going to church, and then put them in church and see how they act. You'll learn. Very subtle. They say legalistic. No, you're not. You don't get the point. There's issues at stake here. There's souls at stake. These are very significant truths. But you know, the Bible says when man professes himself to be wise and rejects God's plan, they become fools. God has, there are some principles here. Clothing does represent a submission or rebellion to God's rule. Clothing represents whether we accept and submit to God's law or we know better than God's law. We live in a day of inordinate pleasure. Much of what's happening in our society is because the Lord Jesus isn't enough. Wants something more. And you know, in that road of wanting something more, it never ends. It never ends. And the sinful nature is always looking for something more perverted to get. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? Stolen waters are sweet, supposedly. Probably the real reason that we're in this trouble today is because the Christian, instead of being a part of the solution, has become a part of the problem. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 10, 8. The leaders of Israel were wearing strange apparel. They were dressing like the world. It tells us they had lost their sense of duty before God. The Jews, what does the Bible tell us? In all their clothing, the Jews were to what? Numbers 15:38, were to have on their clothing a riband of blue. They were to mark themselves as the people of God. You know what? We shouldn't be ashamed to mark ourselves as the people of God. That's our job. Amen? We should be glad to stand in the gap of the decline of this world. Whether we're old like me, or we're a young person like Caleb. What to say, That's my job. I'm on this earth for a purpose. My very life is for the purpose of standing against the downward cycle. And my whole life is for standing for Jesus Christ and that which is right. And of course, that includes giving out the gospel. Well, there's much more to say, but I think there's a principle here. Gender distinction is very, very significant. And you trace the breakdown of gender distinction in America and you're tracing where this huge problem that we have today has started. And churches are caving in by the droves to society. We aren't to be caving in. We're to be light and salt. Amen. So I hope that these truths will be, because it's more than clothing. It's the spirit. It's understanding. It all goes together. And I hope this has been a help to you on this very important issue. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use the Word of God tonight as we deal with what we can do to do right in a decaying world. How we can rescue our families in a decaying world. How we can raise godly children despite what's going on in the world. Praise God for that. And you know, Lord, we thank you that you've given us the master formula, the Bible. And I pray that you give us a humble spirit, that we would want to drink in all the truths and obey them to the fullest, so we might have your blessing. For we need you, Lord. We need your blessing. And we need, our country needs, Lord, revival. Help us to be a part of that revival. Lord, may our hearts be touched by the Spirit of God in this. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord has given you a truth tonight that helped you, I trust. Maybe it's a big one. And you know it's kind of big. And there's so much I could have specifically said that I didn't say, but the Spirit of God did say it to you. And you say, yeah, I know God's dealing with me. And there's a big decision I need to make. There's a submission to God's thinking I need to make. Pastor, pray for me. There's an important decision I need to make. And I want to do what's right. But I lifted hands and say, Pastor, pray with me about this very important thing. Okay? Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Others? Okay, good. Anyone else? Lord? Okay. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. And may we not second guess your word, but now I pray in each life that you, Lord, that you would have your way. We know it goes against the tide. And we may need your help, your special help, to get it in these very dark days. And pray you'd bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.